Turning today to Exodus 20, we want to consider the second of the Ten Commandments. And giving a title to our message this morning, No Idols, No Images, No Icons. We read there in the verse 4, Exodus 20, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. In our introduction to the Ten Commandments, we considered God's word to Israel with regard to who God is. In the verse 2, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. I am the Lord thy God. God identifies himself as the Lord God of Israel, the Lord Jehovah. Then God, in the first commandment, makes it clear, Thou shalt have no other gods before me. That is, no gods of any shape or form. The Lord Jehovah is to be worshipped alone as the only true and eternal God. Now here in the second commandment, God makes it solemnly clear what is forbidden in the worship of him. Verse 4, Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. The use of images and icons and idols are banned by God when it comes to the worship of him. There must be no place given to such man-made things when we worship the Lord Jehovah. Human imagery, imagination, and ingenuity have no place in the solemn business of man's approach unto God. But not only is the making of images for use in public worship forbidden, but the worship of those images is strictly forbidden, as we see in the verse 5 of the commandment, Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Not only is this practice forbidden, it is something that is most foolish. The psalmist highlights the utter foolishness of making images and idols and then bowing down before them and serving them. Psalm 115. Psalm 115, verse 1, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. They that make them are like unto them. So is every one that trusteth in them. O Israel, trust thou in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And the psalmist here highlights the foolishness of making idols and then bowing down and worshipping them. Because the psalmist makes it clear, they can't do anything for anyone who worships them. What can a deaf and dumb idol do for anyone who is in need? The answer, nothing. So there is to be no veneration, bowing down before, praying to, or serving the cause of any image. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And all who engage themselves by including images in their acts of worship should take note of the frightening, solemn consequences of such a practice. Again, the verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. And when God says he visits, will visit the idol worshippers, and will visit those who use idols and images in their worship of him, when he says he'll visit them, he's not visiting them in blessing, he's visiting them in judgment. So God makes it very plain that he will not have any image worship, or any idol worship, or any idols or images, or any man-made things included in the worship of him. God regards such behavior as hatred of him, as having a hatred for God, and that will be followed by divine judgment. So let us look at the second commandment and see first of all what is prohibited in this second commandment. God makes it very clear what is prohibited when it comes to the worship of him. We've read there in the verse 4 what he prohibits. So we see first of all what God demands. This is a demand. There cannot be any doubt or any ambiguity regarding what God demands in relation to the worship of him. Notice, twice in the one commandment, we have the words, thou shalt not. We have it there in the verse 4, thou shalt not. And verse 5, thou shalt not. Two, of course, we know, regarding Bible numbers, is the number of witness. And here is God's witness against the use of idols and images in worship. Here is heaven's witness with regard to how God is to be worshipped by man upon earth. So there you have a witness from heaven and a witness on earth. So God has called upon heaven and earth to bear witness, relating to the worship of Him. So there cannot be any doubt or any excuse for any individual who includes idols and images and icons or any such thing to be included in the worship of God. It is forbidden. And God calls heaven and earth to witness what He has said. Deuteronomy, in the chapter 30, Deuteronomy 30, there in verse 19, regarding another matter, but it's the same principle, verse 19, Deuteronomy 30, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Heaven and earth, this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Heaven and earth. The number of witnesses, heaven and earth, two witnesses, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing shall be established. And so here is something that is established, that God will not have, God will not tolerate, having any man-made thing included in the worship of Him. So that if any Israelite transgressed this commandment, they were without excuse. Because heaven witnessed what God said, and His commandment was heard upon earth. You look there in Exodus 20, and on down the chapter, verse 22. And the Lord said unto Moses, thus thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, ye have seen that I have talked with you from heaven. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. So there's the double witness. What God has said from heaven and what is to be done on earth. No idols are to be used in the worship of Him. So we see what God demands. Then we see what God described here in this command. Here God describes what He does not want to see in the worship of Him. Once again, there in the verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or in the earth beneath, or in the water under the earth. That's what God describes, that He doesn't want to see in any worship of Him. And this is emphasized over and over again in Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus 26, in the opening two verses, ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land or bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Do you see how every time God mentions idols and how he forbids them, he always includes his own name, for I am the Lord thy God. Ye shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Reverence my sanctuary. The sanctuary, the house of God, is no place for images or idols. Not at all. And God here makes it very clear. It doesn't matter what these images are made of or what they depict. They're all an abomination in his sight. Leviticus 19, verse 4. Turn ye not unto idols, nor make to yourselves molten gods. Then we see again the Lord says, I am the Lord your God. The Lord reminds his people. When he mentions the idols and the images, he reminds them, I'm your Lord. I am your God. I am the one who is to be worshipped. The Lord reminded Israel that when he appeared on Mount Sinai, he did not reveal himself in any physical or material form or shape. That the art of man could replicate. Turn to Deuteronomy 4. And the Lord emphasizes this. Deuteronomy 4. And we read there in verse 15. Deuteronomy 4, verse 15. Take ye yourselves good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. In other words, Moses is saying, you never saw any shape or form or any physical image of God. You just heard his voice, and that was all. Apart, of course, from the thunder and the lightning and the smoke upon Mount Sinai. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female. Isn't that interesting? That here God knew what man would endeavor to do. Of course, he knows all things. But here he says in verse 15, take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. You didn't see any form or shape representing God. Lest, and here's the reason, lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image and similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is on the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth on the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth, and lest thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all the nations under the whole heaven. So God makes it very clear and very plain that nothing is to be made or formed by man that represents him in any way at all. teaches us that we must not countenance any artistic impression or representation of God. God makes it clear. After giving the Ten Commandments, the Lord once again makes it clear that He forbids not only the use of images in worship, but He forbids all use of human art to modify the biblically revealed forms of worship. Again, Exodus 20, verse 23. Ye shall not make with me gods of silver, neither shall ye make unto you gods of gold. Now here's something interesting. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me, and shalt sacrifice thereon thy burnt offerings, and thy peace offerings, thy sheep, and thine oxen. In all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. Now here is God setting out for Israel how they are to worship Him. And He speaks here about building an altar of earth. And upon that altar, they would offer up their sacrifices. Alright? They would worship God through their sacrifices. Again, foreshadowings of the sacrifice of Calvary. That's how we worship God through Christ. But look at what comes next. In the verse 25, and if thou wilt make an altar of stone, thou shalt not build it of hewn stone. In other words, the Lord says, if you make an altar of stone, you're not to fashion it in any way. You're not to make an altar of hewn stone, taking hammer and chisel and forming it and shaping it. He goes on to say, build it in hewn stone, for thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. By the very fact that you try and build an altar out of hewn stone and you form and shape the stone, God says you have already polluted that altar. Because you put your hand to it, to form it and to shape it. And He says in verse 26, neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. So we see how strict God is when it comes to the worship of Him. That even in the building of the altar upon which the sacrifices would be laid was not to be an altar out of hewn stone. They were not to try and form or shape the stones for the altar at all. They were just to take the stones out of the earth as they were and build them together and make the altar upon which the sacrifices would be made. Thou shalt not build it of hewn stone, for if thou lift up thy tool upon it, thou hast polluted it. We see from this, the worship of God is to be plain, it is to be pure. No crosses, no crucifixes, no images of Christ, no images of saints. And teaching regarding the second commandment that we have just been looking at, it's here in the Old Testament. The same teaching, of course, is found in the New. So nobody can say, oh, well, that's to do with the Old Testament. As far as I'm concerned, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all one book. It's all one book. It's all the Word of God. And we read in 1 Corinthians 10. 1 Corinthians 10, and verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play, referring to Israel building and making for themselves the golden calf. Paul says, neither be ye idolaters. And again, same chapter, verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. So we see, believer, today, how the worship of God is just to be plain and simple. We notice not only what God demands and what God described, but what God denounces. He denounces the use of idols and images in the worship of Him. Second commandment teaches us that. In the eyes of God, the use of all images, idols, and artist's impressions is an abomination. In His sight, again, Deuteronomy, chapter 27. We read there, in the verse 15, cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image an abomination unto the Lord. The work of the hands of the craftsman, and putteth it in a secret place, and all the people shall answer and say, Amen. Cursed be the man that maketh any graven or molten image. God says it's an abomination. Remember how God denounced the behavior of the children of Israel when they made for themselves a golden calf? And what a terrible insult that was to the Lord. If you just turn over there to Exodus 32, you could say it's a real disgrace what the children of Israel did. Exodus 32, verse 1. And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, Up! Make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we want not what has become of him. And Aaron said unto them, Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters, and bring them unto me. And all the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears, and brought them unto Aaron, and he received them at their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool, after he had made it a golden calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Can you believe that? What Israel did, after all that God had done for them. Here they make idols, they make a calf, and they say, Let it go before us and lead us. This is the God that brought us out of Egypt. And when Aaron saw it, he built an altar before it, and Aaron said, made a proclamation, and said, Tomorrow is a feast to the Lord. No wonder it is called an abomination. And no wonder this behavior provoked the anger and the judgment of God. You go down the chapter, And you see in verse 10, "Now therefore let me alone, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation." And God dealt with them in judgment. You look down at the verse 28. "And the children of Eli did according to the word of the Lord, and there fell of the people that day about 3,000 men." God's judgment against Israel for making an idol and using it in the worship of God. Aaron proclaimed, made a proclamation, "Tomorrow is a feast day unto the Lord." No wonder God was angry. The prophet has recorded the Lord's word in Jeremiah 7 and verse 30. "The children of Judah have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord." Evil. "Have done evil in my sight." And we have all these religious symbols that are used in the worship, so-called worship of God. They're called religious symbols. Well, I'll tell you, it's a religion that has nothing to do with the Word of God. It's a religion that has nothing whatsoever to do with Christianity. God says the children of Israel have done evil. That's what it is, it's evil. "Have done evil in my sight, saith the Lord. They have set their abominations in the house, which is called by my name, to pollute it. They've set their idols in my house." In the house of God, they brought their idols into my house, and they polluted my house. And what they did is evil. That shows us what God thinks about idols being used in worship and how we ought to worship Him. We've seen what God prohibited. We move on quickly to see what God has prescribed. God in His Word tells us how He wants us, demands how He is to be worshipped. He shows us in His Word how He is, first of all, to be worshipped. "We're given this commandment that we might maintain His honor and preserve the purity of His worship. The commandment, if obeyed, will keep human inventions out of divine worship and out of the house of God. Yet in Christian churches, images, holy pictures, paintings of Christ have been introduced to worship services in defiance of the Lord's command. What do we need when it comes to the worship of God? Do we need images and idols and icons to assist us in our worship? Not at all. All we need is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will lead us in worship. And the teaching of God's Word. God's Word shows us. We could ask those who use these images why such things are necessary in the worship service. And we are told, but they assist us in the worship of God. no such things that would be described by God as an abomination that's going to assist anybody in the worship of Him. Nowhere in Scripture are we told that we need anything other than the book, the Bible, and the Holy Spirit to assist us in our worship of God. It seems to be that since people do not relate to the pure, simple worship of God, it's too simple. They have to adopt other methods. They have to bring things in. They have to add to the worship of God. What is it that we have today? It's called a user-friendly religion. That which you have to do to please men. As far as many people are concerned today, the service that we would engage in would be too plain, too ordinary. No, we have to bring other things in to make it more user-friendly. Galatians chapter 1, you could say Paul addressed this very matter. In Galatians 1 and verse 10, Paul says, I might read verse 9, as we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of God. Paul here is dealing with a matter we need to please God. We don't set out to please man. We set out to please God. We must always please Him. God leaves no room whatsoever for the introduction of anything in our worship other than what the Scriptures show us and the Scriptures teach us. What did the Lord say? He told the woman at the well, God is a spirit, and we are to worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's how we're to worship. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's how we worship. There's no mention there of idols or images or anything else of that nature. As the psalmist has said in Psalm 29 and verse 2, give unto the Lord the glory that is due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's how we're to worship. As well as the worship of God, there's the warning from God. The second commandment pronounces severe punishment on those who ignore this prohibition. Nothing provokes God more than the defiance of this commandment. We've already seen that. When the children of Israel made for themselves that golden calf, and the judgment that came upon them, 3,000 men were slain. As I say again, nothing provokes God more than the introduction of idols and images and icons in the worship of Him. I am the Lord thy God. The Lord repeats it over and over and over again. The word God that we have here in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word El. And that word signifies strong and powerful. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy strong and powerful God. He is the one we're dealing with. And God demonstrated His power against the idol worshippers who worshipped the golden calf. And here we see how powerful and strong God is and how it is linked with His jealousy. I am a jealous God. In Exodus, once again, we see in Exodus 34, and there in the verse 14, Exodus 34, verse 14, "For thou shalt worship no other God, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God." Deuteronomy, and 4, and verse 24. And there we read, "When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make graven images, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God, to provoke him to anger." Why? Because he's a jealous God. Jealous, what does it mean, the word mean? The word jealous means, and is defined as, wounded love. The Lord loves His people and is justly jealous. He's wounded. His love for them is wounded when they give their hearts to another. So when images and icons and idols are used in the worship of God, God is jealous. And God's love has been wounded. That's what it means. As well as the worship of God and the warning from God, we have the wickedness against God. Notice now in this verse 5 of the command, in the verse 5, "Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children of the third and fourth generation of them that hate me." It's a great wickedness to make graven images, to worship them, and to use them in the worship, because God says those who practice such things, it's an indication they don't love me, they hate me. They hate me. Their practice, their behavior is described as iniquity. Iniquity. And God will judge to the third and fourth generation of the children. In other words, if idol worship is practiced, let's say in the home, then the children will follow the example, and their children, and so it goes down through the generation. And God's judgment will fall upon those generation to generation. That's what God is saying. Because it is iniquitous. It is evil. It is a great sin. We have seen what God prohibits, what God prescribes, and very quickly what God promises. We'll notice that in verse 5, we have the words, "them that hate me." in verse 6, the words, them that love me. So what you have there, first of all, is a contrast. The contrast is between those that hate me and those who love me. So the Lord God of heaven is saying, if you do not keep this commandment, and you use idols and icons and images, it is a sign, it is evidence that you don't love me. Indeed, it is a sign that you hate me. So it is evident that there is blessing in store for those who love God. And in loving God, they keep His commandments. There's blessing in store for those who engage themselves in the plain and the pure and the prescribed worship of God. The Lord says that He'll show mercy on the thousands, those words may be rendered, on the thousands of generations, showing mercy on the thousands of them that love me. So there's blessing in store for those who have nothing between themselves and God when it comes to worship. It's a sign that we love Him. There's the contrast. There's judgment for those who use idol worship. It's a sign that they hate God. And those who worship the Lord and the Spirit of holiness, it's a sign they love God. And the Lord says, I will bless them. There's the contrast and there's the confirmation. You remember what the Lord said in John chapter 14. In chapter 14, verse 15, the Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's exactly what God is saying in that second commandment. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you don't keep this commandment, or these commandments, it's an indication you don't love me. It's an indication you hate me. You've wounded my love. John 14 again in verse 21. And he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. John 15 and verse 10. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So there is no doubt. If we keep the Lord's commandment, all 10 of them, it's a sign that we love the Lord. And God said, if you don't, God said, you do not keep my commandment. It's a sign that you don't love me, and it's a sign that you hate me. May the Lord bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Lord our God, we bless Thee for the truth of Thy word. We thank Thee, Lord, for the Holy Scriptures. O Lord, I pray Thou would write Thy word, even as Thou didst write the commandments on the tables of stone with Thine own finger. Lord, write Thy commandments upon the fleshly tables of our hearts. And O Lord, we know that if we love Thee, we will keep Thy commandments. Bless the word to our hearts. Be with us, Lord, as we part the one from the other. Watch over us, we pray. Grant us all traveling mercy. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore. Amen.